You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 84, Wireless Qi. Today on the podcast, we're about a month away from WWDC, and we are now at the point where we are almost certain what the iPhone 8 is going to look like. And I know it's a while from release, because Apple releases new iPhones in September, but there's been just so much information about the design of this new thing, what it's going to look like, whether or not it'll even have wireless charging. Which brings me to the topic of discussion for this episode, wireless Qi, the standard for wireless charging, and whether or not Apple will be adopting that for the new iPhone, if it does actually, in fact, have wireless charging. So stay tuned for that discussion coming up next on The Impromptu.
Well, well, another week, ton more contradictory iPhone rumors.
Oh?
So, I think we're getting closer to what the device is. And it's still a little fuzzy, but I think the design is definitely what I've always maintained it would be the entire time. So humble.
You say we're getting close. I thought we were already there last week. At least I felt that way.
Yeah. I mean, every passing week, somebody reveals a case or a fuzzy schematic or whatever. I mean, this dance always occurs every single year.
But it still feels like, I mean, we're still far away from the launch of this thing. So I just feel like, well, what else could leak at this point?
Oh, well, once production starts, actual parts will start leaking. But based on what's come out this week, there was actually a really decent leak the other day. And I'm just going to pull it up because I think this is probably the actual device. Okay, so there's this sort of weird X-ray schematic that leaked. Showing it to you now.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
It basically reveals this kind of see-through view of the iPhone 8. And I would say it is most likely legitimate. It has all of the screw holes. It has a number of other details. It just feels real to me. There's a component in the bottom right that's where the taptic engine would be, and it looks like part of the taptic engine, the part that would show up on an X-ray, or at least whatever kind of view this is. It looks kind of like the X-ray machines they use in the airport, where you can kind of see through something, but not quite. Like, some stuff just doesn't show up. I think where it's like showing metal. But anyways, so the view is from the back of the phone looking through it. So you can primarily see the bottom half. And then those details are obscuring what's on the front. But essentially what we have here is a phone that looks about the same size as the 7. It's got a vertical dual lens camera, as we have seen with previous leaks. It has a drastically reduced camera and sensor array on the front. You can see through at the top. It's got the earpiece and 4 holes, 2 on either side. Now, that could mean that they are doing a dual lens front camera, as was suggested previously. Or it could be sensors for True Tone That was another rumor, that it would actually have a True Tone display like the iPad Pro, where it adapts the color temperature of the screen to match the environment around it. Or it could be the rumored 3D sensor that will do facial recognition, or all of the above. And this densely packed camera sensor array is in this very thin strip at the top, and it's centered. So it's like this little dip, and all of the sensors and the earpiece are contained within that. It actually looks a lot like some of the earlier leaks, where the screen takes up the entire front and there's just this little dip at the top for the cameras. So whether the cameras will be behind the screen or the screen will go around them is anyone's guess. That part is still extremely fuzzy. It's not clear exactly what the front is going to look like yet, because we don't know if they've actually achieved the technology that allows them to put things behind an OLED panel. If they have, then it's very likely that there will just be a cutout for the earpiece and the entire front will seem like it's a screen. If not, then we'll see this little thin sensor array at the top and the screen will be the rest of it. There is no cutout for the home button on the back, so Touch ID is integrated into the screen. And on the back, there is a very large squircle.
A squircle?
I said squircle.
So wireless charging.
Yes. Normally a very large squircle shape inside a phone assembly is a coiled copper wire that is inserted for wireless charging. So the iPhone 8 will support most likely the Qi standard of wireless charging. Qi is the standard developed by the wireless charging working group. Apple actually just recently became a member of that group. So it stands to reason that they would also support Qi. It's unclear whether that's the only wireless charging it'll support. There have been rumors that it will support charging within range, anywhere from 5 to 10 meters of the charging station. I'm going to say that's probably not true. I think it will just use the Qi standard and you'll have to put it on a pad. It won't be like the Apple Watch charger, because that is kind of tailored specifically for the watch. It's got that dip that kind of clips directly onto the ceramic sensor housing. Whereas this would be more of a flat surface that the phone can be placed on.
Right. Okay. But if it's going to have wireless charging built in, it strikes me that they would have to include the receiver to actually the pad to itself.
Yes, that would be in the box, because almost certainly
I can't see, like, if they didn't include it and you had to buy it.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that, would they?
No, of course not. So the iPhone 8 will probably ship with,
but of course you could probably still charge by lightning if you really wanted to.
Oh yeah. So, well,
the pessimist in me says Apple would want to make the extra money on that accessory and sell that feature as a wireless charging as a novelty. Hey, look, you don't need cables anymore.
Well, it depends how fast it charges wirelessly. If it charges at the same rate as lightning, I could see them shipping with a charging pad in the box.
But if it's a better experience...
If it's better, definitely in the box. If it's the same, 50-50. If it's slower, it will not be in the box. And they will say, we've added this. If you want to charge it without plugging it in,
because you wouldn't want
that's
necessarily
something that you can do,
yeah,
but we're not going to include it.
Like, it's a cool feature, but it's not a must-have because it's slower. There's a trade-off there.
The nice thing is Qi is almost universally supported. Like, when we talk about wireless charging support, like the IKEA furniture that has wireless charging pads, that's all chi.
Oh, I didn't know that IKEA was doing that.
Oh, yeah. They have an entire line of products now that have wireless charging pads.
Do you happen to know which one it is?
I forget what it's called, but if you look up wireless charging on the IKEA website, you'll find like there's a lamp with a pad on it. There's a desk with a pad on it. I forget what else. They also sell battery cases that support it. So you can actually put an older iPhone into one of these cases and it'll work. You just put it down on the pad. It's like this white rubber thing with a plus in it. So it's very easy to spot. There's also monitors that have Qi pads on them. Obviously, any charging pad that's been released in the past 3 or 4 years for Nexus phones, Samsung phones, those are all Qi. So you can buy any of those and it'll work with this
phone. Exactly? So Qi is the code name for that, whatever that wireless charging standard is that everybody complies with?
Qi basically emerged as the universal standard for wireless charging. So you've got the coiled copper antenna and then you've got a transmission antenna in the pad. And then that basically, once it gets within range, and we're talking like literally on it, like we're not talking about a great distance, it has to be within millimeters of the pad basically, it just directly transmits power from the receiver to the phone antenna, and that'll slowly build up the battery. It's not super fast, like it definitely is slower than plugging it in. And the other thing, if Lightning is being upgraded to USB-C, that means that the iPhone 8 will have USB-C fast charge. So you'll be able to top up the iPhone 8 in 5 minutes. Like, it'll do the same thing that the Apple Pencil does, that all the W1 headphones do, where you can plug in that iPhone for 5 minutes and you'll get like 2 or 3 hours of battery life.
I think this answers my question that the reason why Apple would not have done this a year or 2 years ago, where, you know, when other companies were releasing phones with wireless charging options, is because of that fast charging option that was not available back then, right? They were just waiting for the tech to mature.
Oh, no. Qi's still the same speed. I'm saying that the Lightning port on the phone is also being upgraded this year.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's like a separate thing.
No, I understand. I just wanted to specifically know about why didn't Apple do wireless charging 2 years
ago?
Why
now? I honestly don't know. She's been around for a while. It could be that Apple is hoping to kind of get their foot in the door now. They're likely working towards being able to do it at range. So for now, this is kind of a stopgap for them, where they're like, okay, we have it now. And then next year or the year after that, they can be like, well, we've been working on iterating this technology and we've come up with a breakthrough. Now, with this accessory that you'll have to buy, your iPhone only needs to be within 5 meters of this device and it will charge through the air. Everyone will lose their shit. It'll be like, whoa, how did they do this? There is a company that they've supposedly partnered with. This is where the at-range rumor comes from. Supposedly, Apple has partnered with a company called Energys. And they have a technology called Watt Up that is...
I'm going to refrain from groaning.
Yeah,
that
is wireless charging at a distance. They claim that their base station can charge up to, I think it was 10 devices at a range of 8 to 10 meters. Might have been 20 devices. No, I think it was 10. 10 or 12, something like that. So if Apple has indeed partnered with this company, maybe they're hoping to kind of fund it and get it off the ground and kind of work it into the Qi standard so that they come out with kind of a Qi 2.0 that supports ranged charging. Because in the past, obviously, Apple has developed proprietary standards. But when it comes to wireless charging, you really can't have a proprietary standard, because the thing is, not every business, not every place that you are in public is going to specifically have wireless charging for an Apple product.
Yeah, of course.
So by nurturing a universal standard, you're allowing there to be an ecosystem that the phone can basically be charged anywhere. Because if Apple comes out tomorrow and says, oh, we've created AirCharge and it only works with iPhones, how many restaurants, how many stores do you think are going to add those things into their buildings? Probably Starbucks and a few others.
Airports will have them.
Yeah. But if it's a universal standard, then you're going to get a much higher degree of saturation. And then the iPhone can just be like, oh, well, we support this too. And the phone will just charge anywhere.
That's something that you would want to have as a universal standard. Just like Apple Pay would not have seen any kind of success in the same way that it has had they invented some standard that banks had to adopt. They just said, no, any terminal with NFC.
Yeah.
As long as it's tap, it'll work. And that was the right way to go about it. And that makes sense for this wireless charging thing to have everyone kind of buy in on the same standard.
Exactly. It doesn't serve the best interest to go out on this alone. Then it's like you go to a place and it's like, oh, we don't have that. We only have Qi. We don't have AirCharge, fancy Apple charging. And you're like, but my phone's running out of power in this theoretical alternate universe. But with Apple supporting a universal standard, you can go anywhere and it'll just work, which will be nice. It'll be a nice change of pace. Of course, obviously, up until now, the whole proprietary port thing, even if the port on the phone is proprietary, it ends up being USB on the other end. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's never really been a huge problem.
No, absolutely not.
But with this, obviously, it would be, because we're talking about radio frequencies and things like that. So, I mean, if it's not the same frequency, it's not going to work. So it's a completely different kind of problem that requires universality by definition. Anyways, so wireless charging. The phone appears to be rounded like the iPhone 7. There don't appear to be any major differences that I can see, other than the antenna lines being a lot less pronounced.
Even less pronounced. Because that was a big step to go from the 6S to the 7, where they removed a lot of those ugly antenna lines.
Yeah, so it appears that there are none on the back at all, and they've instead adopted the old iPhone 4S method of having two lines on either side.
Interesting. So they're not using that new liquid metal yet that somehow radio frequencies can pass through? We don't know that.
We don't know.
I mean, we know they could be.
It could be.
And maybe we'll find out in a couple months.
Yeah.
Maybe something will leak. Who knows?
It's possible. At this point, we're just kind of like, this obviously doesn't tell us everything. It gives us some hints and it kind of confirms a few things, but yeah, ultimately we don't know what they're doing with the front. We know that the front is going to mostly be screen, but we don't know if it's 100% or 90%. We don't know if they're going to have things behind the screen or not. We don't know what the phone's going to be made of. I mean, I've championed this idea that they finally have liquid metal ready, and that's possible. Other rumors have said steel. Other rumors have said glass. Other rumors have said it's still going to be aluminum. So at this point, no one knows. Anyone's guess.
Yeah.
I do think at some point they will use liquid metal. I mean, they invested heavily in that material to the point where it would be really silly at this point not to use it eventually. What else? Oh, yes. Apple Watch Series 3. Little bit of a tidbit there. If you'll recall, a few months ago, I mentioned a display technology called micro LED, or AMOLED for short.
Yeah, I remember. We brought it up several times, actually, over the last... Well, it's been a while, but yeah, it's come up.
Yes. So it turns out that, as I suspected multiple times, the Apple Watch Series 3 will be using an AMOLED display instead of OLED.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because we also talked about how that would... The OLED screen was just a stepping stone to what Apple probably will want to use on all of their products, mm-hmm. which is an AMOLED style display.
Exactly.
So, you know, next year, iPhone 9, that'll be AMOLED because it's probably, I would imagine, cheaper for them to produce.
It's a lot cheaper than OLED because it's standard LED technology. You can repurpose an existing LED factory to make AMOLED.
And I believe it's more battery efficient too.
Yes. It actually requires less backlight to have the same brightness as an OLED display. So more battery efficient, delivers the same technical achievement as OLED, where any part of the screen that's black, the pixels are off.
Right, you can shut off individual pixels.
And yeah, like it's basically OLED but cheaper and better, which is nuts. And Apple bought the only company that was working on it in a serious way. They had come up with a breakthrough to make AMOLED really easy. So Apple owns those patents most likely, and they've been working on developing it for the past, I think, 3 years now. And now it's obviously finally ready for a large-scale test. And of course, as we saw with the OLED in the Apple Watch Series 0, now with the Series 3, AMOLED makes its debut in a mid-scale product so that they can test its capabilities and make sure that there are no major issues with production. And then, obviously, as you said, as long as it's a success, as long as they can churn these things out really easily, they'll move on to iPhone panels. And then next year, the iPhone 9 will also be AMOLED. And the key here is, obviously, with their shift to OLED, what you have to wonder is iPad. OLED screens are incredibly expensive. So how the hell are you going to sell a $500 iPad with a 9.7-inch OLED screen? The answer is you're not. You're going to sell a $500 iPad with a 9.7-inch AMOLED screen, because it costs the same as the current panel.
Yeah,
maybe more at first, but they can cushion that cost with their existing profit margin.
Right. So this year, that means that we're not going to get any iPads with OLED screens at all.
God, no.
So they'll have the same LCD screens that they had last
year. Yeah, like it'll be an upgrade from what they had. Like you'll still get the True Tone, you'll get the DCI-P3.
See, that True Tone is something that has yet to be applied across the board because some of the devices haven't been updated.
Well, the thing
in
with
a while, right? The iPad Pro does not have a True Tone display.
The 12.9-inch iPad Pro doesn't have a True Tone display. That'll change this year. The 12.9 will definitely get it. Yeah, there's always room to improve those panels. I mean, they're on in-cell IGZO. They're using the absolute cutting edge of LED screens. They've got the high DCI-P3 color gamut. So, I mean, they're as good as they're going to get until they shift over to AMOLED. I mean, they can increase the nits for brightness. They can improve the color accuracy even more. Like, they can make minor adjustments, but it's probably going to more or less be the same panel that's in the current iPads. Maybe a little better in some ways, but ultimately the same. I think the key changes will be in the hardware design. Obviously, the 10.5-inch iPad Pro has been rumored for a long time now, with a reduced bezel size. And then either they keep the 12.9 or they make it even bigger and release a 13-inch iPad Pro. Not too sure what's going to happen with the hardware, but ultimately, next year, they'll be able to offer AMOLED panels. Actually, no, probably not next year. iPhone will be like, they always do it in stages. So Apple Watch this year, iPhone next year, and then probably AMOLED iPads in the spring of 2019. Something like that. So they release new iPads this fall. They go a whole year without new iPads, and then spring 2019, they release AMOLED iPad Pros, probably.
That's a long time. You really don't think, well, I mean...
Well, I mean, if they release brand new iPad Pros at the end of this year, those iPads are going to last a while.
Right.
Especially with iOS 11 having the huge iPad overhaul.
Because, I mean, I thought, have they not been on a yearly upgrade cycle for the iPad or not?
They are generally. Sometimes they're a little late. I mean, they had the iPad Air 2 for the longest time. And then the iPad Pro, I think, came out 2 years after the Air 2, maybe. In the intervening time, I think they released the Mini 4. Although that might have come out at the same time as the Air 2. I can't remember the timeline.
Anyway, so they've been a bit all over the place, not entirely strictly following that yearly cycle.
It's never been exactly a year, except for iPad 1, 2, and 3, maybe 4, and maybe the Air. I think after the Air, it kind of started getting fuzzy because people aren't buying iPads every year. They usually buy them every other year or every 3 years or even every 4 years. There are people with iPad 2s still. There are people with original iPad minis still. So with iOS 11, those iPads are going to be made obsolete. I think the iPad 2 is already obsolete with iOS 10, but iOS 11 is going to cut a line in the sand for a lot of those iPads, because now that we're going 64-bit only, I think it's iPad 4 and up. Everything else is gone, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, because the hardware is getting old now. Those devices specifically that you mentioned.
Yeah, and I mean, the upgrade cycle for iPads, like not Apple's upgrade cycle, but the upgrade cycle for customers, they're replacing their iPads at a much slower rate than iPhones. They're treating them essentially like laptops. So every 3 to 5 years, roughly. So this year with iOS 11 and the new iPad Pros, we're probably actually due for a big upgrade cycle for iPad. So assuming that Apple announces their UX overhaul for iPad and stunning new iPad Pro hardware, there's a good chance that they will actually see iPad sales go up quite considerably again, and kind of turn the tide on those numbers, ideally. But yeah, that's how I kind of see the display tech moving forward. So we start with the Apple Watch this year, then we get iPhone, then we get iPad. Then we will probably see AMOLED MacBooks, and then an AMOLED Thunderbolt display for the Mac Pro, which will hopefully be out by then.
And we thought they were never going to happen. I mean, we at some point, I think, said that if unofficially it's done, that Apple is done with displays, but apparently not.
Well, after LG fucked up the ultrafines so badly. I mean, who the hell builds a monitor that doesn't have proper shielding?
Sorry, this is all news to me. What's the problem? I've never heard of this.
Okay,
problem.
So Apple announced that they were quitting displays, right? and they said...
Well, they never actually said that.
Oh, no, they did actually.
I don't remember them saying that.
They did actually say that, yes. They basically said they were quitting displays and that if you wanted a 4K or 5K monitor that worked with Apple computers, buy these new LG monitors. We've worked with them to make these. They're awesome. So it turned out that the 5K 27-inch LG ultrafine display had improper shielding. If you put it near a router or anything that produced electromagnetic interference, the entire display would fuzz out.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's not.
How do you ship a monitor with that kind of problem?
Yeah, it's a pretty glaring flaw. I don't know how their QA didn't catch it. Like, that is really obvious. Unless they were in a clean room completely devoid of any technology and they were just
You shouldn't even get to monitor. QA. I mean, that shouldn't even pass the design, like, specs.
I haven't even heard of a monitor in the past decade having that issue.
Never. So, that's a first for me.
Yeah, it's kind of a huge mistake. Everyone screamed at Apple for it. LG had people return the displays. They fixed the issue. They're now shipping monitors that are properly shielded, but the damage has already been done. People are just screaming at Apple, give us a fucking Thunderbolt display already. And with the announcement that they were doing a new Mac Pro, they also said, we're working on a new Thunderbolt display. So... yeah. We will see a proper 5K Thunderbolt display at some point in the near future, probably released at the same time as the Mac Pro. It might even be 8K by then. I don't know. And presumably, it'll look like the current iMacs, extremely thin, still made out of unibody aluminum and black glass. Unless they completely change their aesthetic by then, I don't know. I mean, a space gray Thunderbolt display would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, either way, but I think a lot of people are really happy that Apple has not given up, because people, I mean, other than the fact that people weren't happy that they weren't updating those displays, with the way they were happy with the design and the build quality, because that was always great, because it's just Apple.
Oh, yeah.
We know.
I mean,
they're going to be good.
I still have my QHD Thunderbolt display.
Right.
And
me too.
I've been trying to replace it. Like, I've been looking at monitors I've been looking at 4K monitors, but it's like, none of them are as nice.
No, they're all cheap plastic. I mean, the display itself is probably good. Everything around it, the package.
Well, not even that. Is bad. Like, I've looked at some of these cheaper 4K monitors. They're not even IPS. They're TN.
Yeah, but what about the? I mean, as far as I understand, like the best ones are the Dell. The Dell displays tend to be the ones that people always go for.
Yeah, there's a Dell one that's about
Better than average build quality too on those.
Oh yeah,
because they have the Dells have a really nice adjustable stand.
They do, yeah. We actually got one of those in at work the other day.
The 4K.
Yeah, the 27-inch 4K.
Yeah. I don't know if they do a 5K one. I don't think so.
They announced one. I don't know if it's out yet.
Okay. So you got one of those at the office.
It's really nice. It's about $700 though. So if you're on a budget, not the greatest option.
Yeah, but you know what? People that buy those Apple Cinema displays weren't on a budget, clearly, because they were always insanely expensive in comparison to what was out there.
Yeah, that's true.
You could get the same res display.
Well,
it's going to be like this again. When Apple releases this display, it'll be like $300 to $400 more than a comparable model from LG or any other manufacturer.
Yeah.
But of course, it'll be made out of aluminum. So, you know, there's a premium for that too, for the design and the integration. It's like, yeah, I can go buy a cheap plastic budget Chinese 4K display, but it's not going to be the same build quality. Now, if that's something you don't care about and you only care about the resolution of the display, fine.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's going to be worth the price because, A, you're getting the, like, minimum, you're getting DCI-P3 color accuracy. So you're getting that high color gamut. You're getting really vivid color, which is already a huge step above the current market. Dell is starting to release monitors with that color spec. And I think Acer is also coming out with a DCI-P3 4K monitor. But those are upwards of $1,300. And that's probably what the Thunderbolt display is going to cost, thereabouts. Actually, the LG 5K monitor here is like $1,699, I think.
Yeah, that's expensive.
So probably in that price range.
Wait, how big is that display though?
27-inch.
That's crazy expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically...
I would never spend that much on
the computer
monitor.
It's most of the price of an iMac, so you might as well get a 5K iMac.
Yeah, just buy an iMac. I would never do that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how much it costs when it comes out.
The only people that'll buy those kinds of displays are video professionals.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really like color accuracy. I mean, I'm a designer, so...
That's a big expense, though, for someone to have as a computer monitor at home.
Yeah.
That's a luxury item, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if it's not accurate enough, I'll notice. So it's like, I do need a certain minimum. Like, minimum, I think I need a panel that's 100% sRGB.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's probably a Dell.
Is there something wrong with the older Thunderbolt QHD displays?
Oh, no. These are 100%.
Yeah.
They've been calibrated by Apple.
Because design work still on those displays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been calibrated by Apple. They're like 99%.
I'm sure you can further calibrate it if you want as well.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like. It'll probably cost an arm and a leg, but it's going to be the nicest display out there for sure, just like the Thunderbolt display has been all of this time. So that's kind of the big picture for Apple right now. Obviously, we're still waiting for WWDC to see what they actually announce in terms of software. There is another rumor, actually. Sonny Dixon, who, I mean, he doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to stuff that isn't a part that someone delivered to him. He's claiming that Apple has been working on a Siri speaker. Essentially Apple's answer to the Amazon Echo. And he claims it looks like a Mac Pro. And yeah, I've heard differently. I've heard Apple has never been working on a Siri speaker at all. So I'm not sure if he's right. It's possible that they've secretly been working on it with another team, and no one else at Apple knows except for like top management. But it's the kind of thing that doesn't really need to be that secret because it's not exactly a new product category. Obviously, these devices are out there. You've got the Echo, various models of the Echo, including the new Echo camera that judges what you're wearing. Such a great product, that.
I don't like the idea of that.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, I'm going to stand in front of this robot and it will judge me.
No, I just don't like what I mean by that is I don't like the idea of an IoT device with a camera constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just no.
That too.
With all the security issues that IoT devices today have, I just don't trust it. I don't care if it's built by Amazon or not. I would never.
Oh, especially because it's built by Amazon. Like, even if it doesn't get hacked.
Anything with a camera, no.
Even if it doesn't get hacked, Amazon is taking a look at all of that data. So, yeah. I mean, they're seeing stuff that you're wearing and probably facial recognition and a bunch of other stuff. It's like, I mean, it almost certainly came out of their project to build that grocery store because that uses machine vision to track what products you've taken off the shelves.
Suddenly there's like what's the name of is it the Amazon Echo that has where you can talk to it and you can say what's the device that Amazon has that you can talk to?
Yeah, it's the Echo.
Okay,
yeah.
So I just can't imagine like the you know, you get up in the morning, you get dressed, and then it's like corduroy jeans, really?
Yeah.
Amazon is now sending you a pair of Levi 501s.
We think didn't you'll ask look for that.
Trust us.
Yeah. We think you'll look better in it. It only cost $100. What?
We know best. Yeah. Actually, that should be Amazon's new slogan. Amazon, we know best.
Or the drones will come for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, yes, Apple...
They may or may not be doing it.
They may or may not be working on a speaker. I've heard they aren't. This guy is saying something different.
Frankly, I don't care. It doesn't excite me.
Yeah, it's not the most interesting product. I mean, as I've said multiple times, it really doesn't matter if Siri's still dumb. Why do I want a Siri speaker if Siri is still dumb as a post? I don't need another device to ask something and it to go, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me run a web search for unintelligible sentence I didn't understand.
No, I mean, Apple needs to get its priorities straight. We've talked about this. They need to make substantial improvements in Siri.
Yeah. And there is a rumor that that's coming, but I am not optimistic. I mean, we know their stance on privacy. And I've said, just drop it. Just let us opt in. Give us something worth using. Who knows if they're going to do that? I mean, Apple basically has to deliver us the moon at WWDC. Like, I mean, I said it two episodes ago. They have a lot of checks to cash. And I don't know if they're going to cash all of them. I mean...
Yeah, I'm going to try to not get my hopes up here. And I'm sure they will make some improvements, but let's try to set the bar low so that we're not disappointed.
Yeah, like, I mean, iPad, okay. iPad, I definitely know they are overhauling it. They've had a whole extra year to work on it. It's probably going to be really good because they've actually, hopefully, taken the time to completely rethink it. Like, the amount of time it's taken, it is not just a simple, oh, we added an extra row of icons, right? Like, you do not take 2 years, 3 years to just do that. Like, they have clearly been working on something special. So that's going to be exciting. But as for everything else, I mean... If they don't deliver a smarter Siri, it's like, what are they going to do? Oh, we added a new category to Siri Kit. Oh, wow. So exciting. It's getting harder and harder to remain optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, we won't have to wait too long till WWDC because that's coming up in June. So
yep.
Let's reevaluate when that happens because I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah. In episode 90...
Episode 90.
Let's move on to a more optimistic topic, Nintendo. So they just ended fiscal year 2016, and they announced that they'd sold quite a lot of Switches. They're actually beating all of their targets. They're estimating that they're going to sell around 12 million by the end of the year, which is huge. And they also announced surprise new hardware yesterday. They announced the new Nintendo 2DS XL. So this is a hardware revision to the 3DS XL, essentially. They've removed the 3D. They've given it a new industrial design that takes
I wasn't aware that they actually removed the 3D feature.
Yeah, so they actually came out with a device called the 2DS a few years ago now. They actually had it at PAX 2013 when I went, and it took the 2DS and made it this weird door wedge shape console. No clamshell. It was just all out in the open.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. And that didn't have 3D either. Now, with this new hardware, you've got a drastically redesigned 3DS. Proper clamshell. No more air gap between the two halves. It properly closes. The top half looks like it's glass, On the inside, I'm not, it could just be glossy plastic. I'm not sure. It's probably glossy plastic, but the top half actually looks kind of like an iPhone. You've basically got this glossy black taking up the entire top half and a screen in the middle, and that's it. And then on the bottom, you've got the standard 3DS controls. You've got the camera stick. You've got the touchpad, the ABXY buttons, D-pad, touchscreen in the middle. Both are the same size and resolution as the 3DS XL, just with the 3D removed. It's going to retail in the US for $149.99 starting on July 28th. Which, incidentally, is the same day that two big 3DS titles come out, Miitopia and Hey Pikmin, which will be the first Pikmin game released for the 3DS. So it's essentially a smoother, cleaner-looking 3DS, cheaper, because the 3D part is out of it.
And I got the impression that it's running the same faster CPU that was in the last release of the 3DS?
Yes. So it's the new 2DS XL. So the new means camera stick plus faster processor. So yeah, it's effectively the same thing as the 3DS XL. Same size screens. The top screen is 4.88 inches. The bottom touchscreen is 4.18 inches. It ships with an AC adapter and a 4 gig micro SD card. The SD card slot and the game card slot have been moved to a single unified panel on the front. So you flip open the dust cover and both slots are accessible, which is a nice improvement, because before you had the game slot in the front and then the SD card was accessible through a dust cover on the side. So now it's in this single integrated panel, which is really nice. They moved the two 3D cameras from the top of the clamshell to the back of the bottom half, meaning in order to take a picture, you have to actually hold it up vertically like a phone. Kind of odd, but probably a measure to save money, I would think. Plus, it probably makes it easier to repair because the top half is now just a screen.
And does it have the newer OS that's part of the Switch?
No.
So this same old software.
This is still the 3DS software. It still runs 3DS games. It's effectively just a cleaned up 3DS without the 3D, cheaper. Nintendo seems to basically be positioning this as the entry level Nintendo console. So they might even discontinue the 3DS. I'm not sure. Moving forward, it seems like this will be the product that they're pushing in terms of handheld. So for families with kids, this is going to be a great option, because for $149, you get this console that has access to hundreds of awesome games. And like, it's really easy to take with you.
It makes sense to keep that in their product lineup now that they've done this redesign. I mean, the old model, I don't think they could have gotten away with keeping that around for much longer. But now that they've done these improvements in the design and just given it a bit more polish, you're right, it does have access to a huge game library. So why would they get rid of that product?
Yeah.
Right? Because not everyone... The Switch is a fantastic product.
It's expensive, though.
But it's expensive. Not everyone's going to drop $400 on that.
Yeah.
And they need something at the bottom of the price scale.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have this massive game library. So they're leveraging that and saying, okay, here's this new superior handheld product. It's really affordable. You've got hundreds of games out there that you can play with it out of the box. It's got access to virtual console, so you can play a ton of classic games on it too. And it has better battery life than the Switch, obviously. So you can take it with you for hours and hours. Yeah. So, I mean, they're positioning it as the entry-level product. So You don't have a lot of money to throw around. You get the 2DS XL and you have all these games, and that's awesome. And then the Switch is being positioned as the premium Nintendo product. It's an actual game console that you can hook up to your TV, but it's also a handheld that plays really graphically advanced AAA titles. So they've essentially distilled their product line into these two parts. So now it's just entry level and premium. There's no more like 3DS versus 3DS XL. There's just this one product.
Well, because it's too confusing.
Yeah. I mean, those SKUs still exist. They haven't said that they're discontinuing them, but I feel like moving forward, the marketing push on the 3DS side will definitely be for this hardware, at least until they come up with whatever is next. Although, I'm pretty sure what's next is the Switch 2 with better battery life.
I don't think it makes sense to have anything in between. I think they should just have that entry-level 3DS and then the Switch, which is the premium product, those two.
I mean, moving forward, as battery life improves, the Switch is going to be
really
the handheld.
They really want people to buy the Switch.
They
That's
really
the
do,
one that
yeah.
they want you to have.
Of course, because it does both.
Exactly.
And like I said, as they iterate on it, it'll last longer and longer out of the dock, and you'll be able to take it with you in the same way that you used to be able to take the 3DS with you. So at that point, you don't really need the 3DS because the Switch can last for 7-8 hours playing Zelda, and then you don't really need to worry about it because you've got access to all of these games, and you don't need to worry about running out of power because chances are, by the time you get where you're going or whatever, you can plug it in. You can put it into a dock. You can use a battery pack. At E3, Nintendo's hinted that they're going to announce a bunch of games that they haven't talked about yet.
You've been listening to the Impromptu
on
Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight.
One of those games is most likely Pokemon Stars.
If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there. And wherever else you can find podcasts.
Is proof enough.
You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen
Impulse.
At Zero Distraction.
More advanced 3D
graphics.
And
if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way,
this is the
you can email
the Pokemon franchise,
at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to
Nintendo
both
handhelds.
Myself and Michael.
Because
and on that
Pokemon
note,
games
thanks for listening, everyone.
Flagship
See you next
time. For Nintendo handhelds. Whenever they release a new handheld, a new Pokemon game isn't far behind. So, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big hint in and of itself, if it exists, which it likely does. So, yeah, two events, both in June, should be pretty interesting.